And if you can't see how good God is, then there's something wrong with you, not something wrong with God. Amen. Open your Bibles to two places this morning, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Put your finger there and go over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and 2 Timothy chapter 3. I couldn't help, Brother Gary, when you were singing that song. I was sitting there thinking about my mom back there. How that she's 80-some year old and how I've watched her give to the Lord all those years. I've watched her open her home up and take kids in. Had 48 foster children, some we had for 15 years. I've seen her weep and cry over people that she had no bearing with whatsoever. I remember when they would come and take them back and send them back sometimes in pitiful conditions, situations, and it'd tear her heart out. Remember all the years of teaching school, Sunday school and school, and how she cared for all the young people that come through her life. Sort of where I want to go this morning. You open your Bibles and you got them there. Keep your finger in Timothy. We'll come there. But in Matthew chapter 24, the Lord gave me this verse the other day. I told him Wednesday night that he had, but I want to preach a message on it tonight, this morning. And Tuesday night, Beth called me. And Beth, she called me and she was... I don't guess she'll mind me sharing this, but if she does, she'll get over it. She'll get beyond it. But she called me and she was just crying hysterically. I couldn't get her to quit crying enough to figure out what was going on, and I was afraid something bad had happened to her, the kids, or something. And I kept trying to get her slow down where I could understand what was going on. And she was, the other day she'd brought a little girl. How old is she? 16. Mental capacity about 10. She's a drug baby. Her arm is missing from here on down where she was born. And she's been kicked around. Passed around, abused, misused. Nobody wants her. She called me and she was crying. I said, what's wrong? I said, calm down. I said, tell me what's going on. And she was sitting there and some of her half-brothers and so forth lives across the street. Their dad's in prison. Their grandmother's trying to raise them, and Chris raises, or Beth raises them about half the time. And then, of course, she's opened her home for other things as well, and for adults that needs a home and that's challenged in some ways. And then, of course, she's been keeping the little girl she's got back there and her sister a lot, and some of the rest of you have too. And I was thinking, and she said, they're going to send her away. I can't stand it. My heart's breaking. I said, what? And she told me about this little girl that they were going to take her and send her back to a home where she got abused last time, and house, or what is it called? Group home. And she got abused. She said, Dad, I can't let her go. They're going to abuse her again. I said, Beth, you can't save the world. I said, you got your house full right now. She's trying to figure out, she said, if I could just make a bedroom, or if I can add a room or add a bed, maybe I can keep her here. I said, Beth, you can't save the world. She said, well, I can try. And then she called me back the next night. And she said, Dad, if I can, I'm going to keep her. But God, as he does, his word is many things. But one thing his word is a sharp two-edged sword. Being a sharp two-edged sword, what it means is it cuts you sometimes. Because it shows you, as the song you sung, who you really are. And as you was referring to. And God said this to me. He took his word or his knife and he cut me. And when I was talking to Beth and I was trying to tell her why she couldn't. She just had too many things on her plate. And I said, you can't. And she said, Dad, somebody just needs to love her. She's never been loved. Can I not give love a chance? And God did this. He said, what happened to your love? You used to have a love like that. When you looked out, you saw people dying on the road to hell that you was willing to put forth an effort to do something about. The nights you used to spend in prayer, praying for people, and going, getting up in the middle of the night, and going and helping and sitting and talking and counseling and working. What happened to your love? And he took me this verse. Matthew 24 and verse number 12, the Bible says this. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I want to preach from that just a moment, and I want to share with you. And I'll say this going into this. I don't want to spend a lot of time, but I understand the setting of this scripture. I understand what Jesus is referring to when he talks here, who he's talking to. Now let me make this point. The love of many that will wax cold. And by the way, if I was entitled this message, I would entitle it this. Love is the answer. Because Beth said back there, she said, Dad, I believe love is the answer. The helper. And I got thinking about it, and God cut me. Now, I want you to note that the love he's talking about here is love given to save people. He's not talking about the lost world losing their love and growing cold. He's talking about his people.
That's right.
Their love growing cold. Now it's important to understand the greatest aspect of God, an attribute of God, is his love. The Bible says God is love. One of the greatest verses in the Bible, if you can compare verses to be great one against another, is for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God commendeth his love to us while we were yet sinners. God's love is a unique love. The Bible doesn't say that God just shows love. The Bible says God is love. When you study the word love in the Bible, there's two words used for love. I don't want to get a lot in Greek because I don't know a lot about it, but I've studied it and I'll just give you. There's two different words, Greek words, that was used in the New Testament. One's philia. Philia means you have a fondness for, you have an affection for. It means that you like. You could come here and I could say, well, I love you. I have a fondness for you. But then there's another word that's used, and it's the word right here. It's called agape love. And the word agape means that it's God's love. Brother Gary was talking about the fact of knowing that he was saved. I'll tell you what lets you know when you're saved. Somebody said, well, preacher, how do we know when we are saved? This is the way that you know that you're saved. There's some people says, well, I heard a voice. Somebody said, well, I didn't hear a voice. Somebody said, I saw a light. Somebody said, I didn't saw a light. Somebody said, I did this, I done that. And you sit there and you question, well, I didn't do that, so that's not. But everybody who gets saved goes through this experience. Yes, you're saved by grace through faith. There was a time when God, through the Holy Ghost of God, dealt with your heart and drew you to come to salvation. You recognize the fact that you were a sinner, that you need to be saved. Right? Now, and the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 that that the Holy Ghost of God, that is what borns us again. You must be born again. The Bible says when we get saved, we are born again. We've made a new creature. That song you're singing, old things have passed away, all things become new. The Holy Ghost of God comes in, he lives in you. The Bible says you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. But there is something else that the Holy Spirit does that people misses. In Romans chapter 5, in verse number 5, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God sheds abroad in our heart the love of God. The moment you get saved, God shed in your heart a gap of love. It's a different type of love than you ever had, than you ever known. It's a type of love that all of a sudden you feel, and you know they sing that old song, give me that old time religion. You heard that? What does it make you do?
Love everybody.
The moment you got saved, you remember how you loved everybody? Everything. Man, you walked away and you just loved everything. The moment that you came, all of a sudden there was a love that transpired. Your relationship with your wife changed. Your relationship with your employees changed. Your relationship with your church changed. Your relationship with your neighbors changed. Your relationship with the world changed. Everything changed the moment you got saved. Now some people say, well, I remember how I felt that time and how that love just seemed to be so rich. And when I got up, I just seemed to have such love for everything. And yes, it may go and it may grow cold. Doesn't say you lose it. It just grows cold. Now, let me say this. It's important. A gap of love is a love that is shown through your works. God loves us not because we will do something for him. He loves us even when we don't do anything for him. He loves us with a gap of love. A gap of love is a love that's willing to give and not accept anything in return and not expect nothing in return. That's what she was doing. That little girl has nothing to offer. She can contribute nothing. But somebody's got to love her for who she is. God loved us for who we were. And regardless of what you think of yourself, let me let you in on a little secret. You're not a very pretty picture when you look inside of you. When you know yourself for who you are. Because all of us got one testimony. We're sinners. Everybody. And we're sinners by birth and by choice. Now, when you do that, Jesus said this, you can tell my disciples because they keep my commandments. And by the way, you find over and over and over in John, and by the way, John, he was a disciple of love. The Bible says he's a disciple that Jesus loved and loved Jesus. Several times you find Jesus. He's the one that's on that picture of the Last Supper laying his head on the chest of Jesus because he lay on the breast of Jesus. He loved Jesus. He wrote about love. As a matter of fact, you go to 1 John over and over and over. The whole 1 John is all about love. And he said, how can you say you love God and who you've not seen and hate your brother and who you have seen? He said, if you love him, if you're one of his, you ought to love his brethren. In other words, he said, you can tell my disciples because they love one another. Somebody said, what would you wish if you wish your church had anything? What would you wish? I said, love. Faith, hope, and charity, these three, and the greatest of these is charity. Above all things, put on charity. Charity shall cover a multitude of sins. In other words, if you had love, you wouldn't be sitting judging her. You'd be loving her in spite of everything that's her weakness and shortcomings. She has them, but so do you. And so therefore, we have to learn to love beyond that. Now, notice this, that the Bible says that the love of many, get that word many? That means the majority, will wax cold. Why? Why? Look back. Why does it wax cold? What's the first part of that verse? Iniquity shall what? Abound. That means it's going to grow. Now look at you real quickly to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Follow me. In verse 1 it says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. That's dangerous time. It says, and by the way, how many of you notice in the last few decades how things have changed? People's not the same. Life's not the same. Our country's not the same. Our homes are not the same. Marriages are not the same. Churches are not the same. Have you noticed that things have been changing drastically? This is why. Look, verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own self. In other words, the only thing they're thinking about is themselves. A gap of love makes you love other people. A selfish love makes you love yourself. What's in it for me? And if you're trying to serve God with what's in it for me, you're not going to get very far. And so therefore, the Bible also instructs us that when we do things, we're to do it for the glory of God, not for motivation, what's in it for me. And notice, he says, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. By the way, let me say this. I mean, how much unnatural affection we're seeing. Not long ago, this guy walked into a grade school and killed all them kids in Newtown, Connecticut. I mean, how unnatural affection is that? How about where the other day we read where a mother put a baby in a microwave and cooked it? Or how about these mothers that just gives their children up? And fathers that walks away? How about those that abuse and misuse? And how about those that sexual molest all these children? Not natural affections. Man, something strange is going on. Everywhere you turn, it's not just a unique thing that happens every now and then that comes in the paper. It's every day, everywhere. It's perilous, dangerous times. Used to be a time, my wife there, when she was little, she grew up in Fallbush all her life. She'd ride her bicycle as a little girl, a 5 or 6 year old, all the way around 2 or 3 miles, and she'd be around this gravel road, and nobody could see her or nothing. You know why? Everything was safe. Ain't no way I let my little girl ride a bicycle 3 or 4 miles where I couldn't see her now. Perilous times have come. Man without natural affection. I mean, what can a grown man get out of taking a 3 or 4 or 5 year old girl or a little boy like that and sexually molesting? What in the world can somebody get out of something like that? No, look here. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Look at verse 7. Ever learning, never come knowledge of truth. Listen, the reason why, everywhere we turn, we see all these things and iniquity abounding everywhere. This list right here I just read you is the iniquity that we're facing. It's coming from that. Why people just walk away from their children? They don't have natural affection. They're lovers of their own self. It's all about them. They don't worry about those little babies. Listen, if you ain't got enough room in your heart to love somebody above yourself, don't have children. It takes a love, a great love. And look here, it's not something you can love for 5-10 minutes. It's a lifetime commitment that you bring on. Now stay with me a minute. And so this agape of love, the Bible says, many will wax cold because iniquity shall abound. In other words, what happens is, as we see this day in and day out, day in and day out, we get calloused about it. We get so used to seeing it, it's not a strange thing anymore. You remember how strange it was when you'd see two girls or two guys all hugged up walking around? Got used to it. We now you see all these changes in their lives, and you look around and you see all this happening, and we kind of get used to it. And because iniquity abounds, in other words, it's multiplying and growing, we're getting so used to it, our love begins to grow cold. What happens is this. Now stay with me a minute. And this is what happens. Now remember, this is God's people he's talking to here. How does it grow old or wax cold? Now, the word wax there means that it turns cold or it turns into cold. But I want to think, when I think of wax, I think of this. Two things come to my mind when I think of wax. One is a wax, anybody ever been to a wax museum? Anybody ever seen wax fruit? Sometimes those people in wax museums look pretty real, don't they? I have seen one time, somewhere I was at, they used to have a bowl of wax fruit, and it looked so real. I cannot tell you how many people come in, they sit down, and they pick a piece up, start to eat it. It looked that real. I'm afraid a lot of people are wax Christians. They claim to be something, but really they're not. They're just an imitation of it. There's nothing real about them. But real Christians, the thing that separates real Christians from anybody else, if you're saved, you have inside of you the love of God. You have a different type of love than the world knows. And that love makes you want to do something. The thing about serving Christ is you have to love others and put them in front of yourself. When we quit doing that, we know our love has grown cold. What caused it? Let me get this real quick and I'll close. Waxed. The other thing I think of wax is this. I think of the floor over there. We're going to have to clean it up. It's got layer after layer after layer of wax. I think of you wax things sometimes, you make it look good and shiny and pretty. But what happens is if you keep layer and layers of wax without taking it off, guess what? Soon it looks dull. And the shine is away. And what happens is all those things that's built up in that wax is covered up. And you get layer after layer after layer after layer after layer. And soon what used to make it look pretty makes it look dull. Now stay with me, man. I'm going to help you. This is what happens to us. Why does marriages split up after 30, 40, 50 years? What happens is this. You have issues that comes along. Fights, arguments, other issues. You cover it up. You make it look shiny. You don't really take care of the matter. And you just wax over it. Then something else happens. You wax over it. You wax over it. Wax over it. And then somewhere down the way, you look and what used to be shiny and bright and nice and clean is dull and dirty. It's got all that stuff involved and covered up. And what happens is you wax cold. You don't have the feelings that you once had. You know why you didn't deal with the matters like you need to? Sometimes in your ministries or your church, things happen. Can I tell you something about in ministry and being a Christian and trying to serve God? You're going to have some people going to say things that's going to hurt you. You're going to have some people going to do things that's going to hurt you. Some people, the ones that you do the most for, is going to hurt you the greatest. But look here. What happens is this. When you have people that hurt you and you just wax over it and you don't really forgive them and settle with it and get it settled, and you cover it up and you cover it up and you cover it up and you cover it up, and because all this is continuing on, soon what you find yourself doing is you've waxed cold. Now you don't feel like going out knocking on doors. You don't feel like going out inviting people to come to church. You don't feel like going out and witnessing to them. You don't feel like going out and helping them. You don't feel like giving to them and helping when a situation. It's just your love is waxed cold. And what happens is it's because we continue to lay layer after layer after layer and we don't deal with it. And we look out and all this stuff is coming at us from the world, and the world has changed. The homes has changed. The church has changed. Listen, I remember one time I've seen God getting the services here. Remember one time we went for 4.5 months and we saw people walk out every single service that we had. I remember one service, and some of you remember, we had 10 saved one night, and service lasted 4.5 hours. And people walked out the door, and they told me this, said, "Preacher, you closed too early tonight." And I really thought it had been about 1.5 hours, and I looked at my watch, and it had been 4.5 hours. And not one person there in that whole time looked at their watch. I mean, God just came in a miraculous way that night. Those of you here, remember, you know what I'm talking about. Now look here. Now, we can tell when our love is waxed cold. We don't love God like we used to. When you don't love God, you don't do the things. And let me say this. I'm going to close here in a second. When your vertical love is not right to God, none of your horizontal love will be right. Your horizontal love is to your family, your kids, to church members, to your neighbors, to your friends, to the people you work with. None of that will ever be right when that's not right. When that has grown cold, this grows cold. You wax cold this way, you wax cold that way. The church suffers. And what happens, I don't have time to take you, but the Bible says in Matthew 13:15, I believe, I'm not sure, but I have to look. But it's where the people would look and their eyes had waxed cold. In other words, the Bible says evil men is going to wax worse and worse. We know that. But look here, what happens is this. There was a time when my love, how many of you remember when you got saved? What's the first thing you want to do? Couldn't wait, go tell somebody. When's the last time you had that energy, go tell somebody? You're still saved. Look here. What happens when our love waxes cold? When we look out in the world, we don't see them the same way. When my love for God is hot, and by the way, agape love, when you have it, is a warmth inside of you. Remember when Jesus resurrected, he was walking those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and what they say, Stuart, remember what you saw and what it says? Did not our hearts grow warm? See, the love of God, when it's right, is a warmth love, and it makes you warm up to everybody. You look out in the world and you see lost people dying, you want to do something about it. You look and you see children suffering, you want to do something about it. You look, you see somebody hungry, you want to do something about it. You see somebody hurting, you want to do something about it. You see somebody needs prayed for, you want to do something about it. You see somebody needs a hug, you want to do something about it. When your heart is warm, when it's cold and we get so used to seeing it day in and day out, what we do is we see it and we say, somebody else take care of it. Let somebody else take care. And whenever she called me and I said, Beth, somebody else have to take care of, God said, And he took me to scripture. He said, what happened to that love? Has it grown cold? Do you understand where I'm coming from? And see, our eyes don't see what they see when their love's right. Whenever our love is cold, my eye sees this. Whenever my love is warm, they see this. Whenever my love is cold, I hear what I want to hear. The word of God don't penetrate me. It don't speak to my heart. I don't get up and move when I hear the word of God. I don't let it respond to me. But when my heart's right, and somebody sings a song or somebody preaches to me, I come out of the pews and I come to the altar. You got that? Now look here. The love of God is the greatest gift. He gives us His Son, and that love that He sheds separates us from everybody else. Let me ask you this morning. Number one, do you know the love of God? Number two, if you have been saved, has your love grown cold? If it's cold, it's cold this way because it's cold that way. When it grows cold, you quit loving God like you used to love Him, but you also quit loving everything else like you used to love it. And what God did was this. He cut me the other day. He said, your love is cold. And He took me this verse. And I said, yes. Seemed like you get so tired of seeing it day in and day out, hearing it day in and day out, that you just try to build. The easiest thing to do, Chris, one time she said, we got hurt by something. We'd give our hearts and lives for some time to these people, and they just hurt us terribly. And she said, I'll never open up and open myself up to be hurt again. I said, Chris, you can't love without being hurt. You have kids, you love them, they're going to hurt you. Anybody you love is going to hurt you. Somebody said, well, I don't want to love. I don't want to be a person that don't love. Love is what is attracting. When people see the love of God, that's what attracts. And I'll close with this thought. I know I said that once, but I'm promise. Look here. The thing that attracts us to God is His love. We love Him because
He first loved us.
And look, He doesn't make us love. He could create us where everybody loved Him. But He gives us choices. He said, I want you to come and choose to love Me. Because when you choose to love somebody, it's much more valuable than when you have to love them. You're my kid, you got to love me. But when you see a complete stranger and you say, I want to give my heart and life and bring them in my home and help them, and they got nothing to give back, they see a value in that love. That's agape love, agape love. Do you have it this morning? And if you never have it, you never known God, because God is love. You got God, you got a different type of love. It's shed abroad. If you do, what temperature is your love? Let's stand today. How about Brother Porter?
Hey, Jake.
Maybe you're here this morning, God spoke to your heart. You've never received the love of God. And this morning you need to come expressing that love for God. You say, well, I remember old so-and-so. They used to be here and they're gone. You know what? Their love grow cold. How about this morning? Would you come? God's